Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on living in the balance of grace and faith. I have a brand new hardback book on this. Also, we have a study guide that takes all of the truths that are in this book and puts it into a format that we use primarily to teach Bible studies, Sunday school classes. It's to facilitate you in taking these truths and sharing them with other people. And I tell you, this teaching on the balance of grace and faith is something that is absolutely essential that you learn this. This is something that applies to every person. They may use a different terminology or something, but every person needs to understand this. So I'd like to really encourage you to please get that study guide so that you could share these truths with other people. So I've already talked about from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that we're saved by grace through faith, not one or the other. And then I started showing the abuses of people taking grace to an extreme to where it has nothing to do with us. It's just totally up to God. It leads into fatalism, into an extreme belief that whatever will be, that it's just all up to God. We have nothing to do with anything. And that leads people into living a sloppy life. They don't discipline themselves. They don't have to because, after all, it's just fatalistic. Whatever will happen will happen. That's wrong. So I countered that to a large degree. I countered what I call the extreme sovereignty of God teaching that God does things independent of us. And that is not true. God always flows through people. If God was doing things without having dependence on flowing through people, if he had set it up to where it was just what he wanted to be done, well, there wouldn't be sickness, there wouldn't be disease, there wouldn't be poverty, there wouldn't be shame, there wouldn't be sorrow and grief, there wouldn't be pain and failure. It would be heaven. But right now we aren't in heaven. We're on this earth where mankind has empowered the devil, and through cooperating with the devil, we are causing tremendous hurt, and there's pain and there's suffering and all of these things. God's will does not automatically come to pass. We have to cooperate with it. And so I've countered that abuse. Then yesterday, I started countering the abuse of the other side of this coin, and that is talking about faith. And even though I am a faith man, without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, and I believe that. I am not disparaging faith, but I'm saying sometimes if a person takes faith independent of grace, then they make faith like a pry bar, like something they use to get leverage. In other words, God won't heal me, but I'm going to start praying. I'm going to confess. I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get a prayer chain to agree. I'm going to have people do this. And we are just going to petition God and put so much pressure on God until we make God move. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know, I can't see you, but in my heart, there's people looking at me like, well, what's wrong with that? That's the way that a lot of people live, thinking that they are going to make God do something. They may not put it in that word, but that's exactly what they're doing. This is exactly the logic behind most people having a prayer chain and asking someone else to pray for them. It's basically, God won't listen to me. I'm not important enough. My need's not big enough. I haven't been holy enough, or whatever their explanation is. But He will listen to you. Or if we get 100 people together, that will be important enough that surely God will respond to that. Or here's another example of the same thing. There's a lot of people that use fasting for this same thing. They think that they've prayed, they've asked God, they have not seen the petition that they're desiring granted. And so what they do is go on a fast. And what they think they're going to do through a fast is put pressure on God. And this will motivate God. And when they get to the point that they're about to waste away, I mean, their stomach is hurting, they're weak, they can hardly stand up without passing out. They don't know why a poor, non loving God hasn't answered their prayer, but whatever his problem is, when the person is just about to die and pass out from hunger, certainly God's going to pity them then. Certainly that will move him, and certainly that will release the power of God. Again, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I may be verbalizing this and stating it in a way that you wouldn't be that obvious with it. You'd be more subtle. But this is exactly what most people do when they fast. This is what I used to do when I fast. I thought fasting gave me extra pull, extra leverage with God, that it would make God move. But you know what I came to realize is that God doesn't respond to my fasting. Fasting doesn't make God any more prone to answer my prayers. If I fast, I'm not better off. If I don't fast, I'm not worse off as far as God is concerned. It has zippo to do with God. What fasting does, fasting affects me. If I'm hard-hearted, if I've got unbelief, if I've got fear, when I fast and deny myself this food and instead I put all of my attention upon God, it makes my heart more sensitive, more receptive to God, and it allows God to flow through me better. So yes, the end results of more fasting and more prayer is that you get better results, but not because God is blessing you for your holiness and you earned it. It's because God was wanting to do it all along. You just got your pipe unclogged. God was wanting to flow His power through you, but you are all clogged up with the cares of this life and so many things. And so when you fast, it is a withdrawal from all of these things that harden our heart. And so fasting doesn't change God's heart towards us. It changes our heart towards God. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. Somebody might think, I don't see the difference. Either way, you got to fast. You got to pray. You got to study the Word. You got to do what's right. What's the difference? The difference is if I think that my effort is touching God and God responds to me, and only when I reach a certain level will He release His power. That puts all of the burden upon me. In a sense, I am bearing the burden of getting myself healed, my marriage staying well, my prosperity working. It puts all of the burden on me. But if I look at it as, God, I know that You've got a perfect plan. You want my marriage to work. You want my ministry to work. You want to prosper me. You want me to be a health. You've already provided this. Grace has already provided it. You've already placed all of this power inside of me. And thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You that I have this. Now, if I haven't seen it yet, what I realize is I need to study the Word and I need to pray and I need to start focusing on God more, but not to get Him motivated, but to get me unclogged. In other words, it really helps me to understand that my holiness changes my heart towards God, but not God's heart towards me. The reason that's so beneficial is because I'm never going to be holy enough. I'll never be perfect enough. I'll never do everything enough. Some of you watching this program are probably thinking, well, I will. I'm doing everything. Man, I'm seeking God day and night. You know what? If you're saying something like that, you've only been at it a short period of time. You know, in the very beginning, for a short period of time, I thought, man, I'm going to do everything perfectly. I was in love with God with all of my heart, and I was motivated. But you know what? You can't do things perfectly. Any person who would say that, it's like a person who says, I'm going to run, and I'm going to run 10 miles without stopping. That's easy to say before you start running. But you know, once you get to running, all of a sudden you get tired, and your humanity kicks in. And if you haven't been training, your fat kicks in, amen, or whatever it is. And pretty soon, you may have had the best intentions of running 10 miles, but you only make it 2 miles or 3 miles, and you start getting tired. And you know what? A person who's sitting there spouting that I can run 50 miles is probably a person that has never tried it. And my point is that, you know, it's easy in the beginning for you to say, oh, I'm going to seek God so much that God owes me everything, that I'm going to just live perfectly and everything's going to work in my life. You can say that when you're young in the Lord, but I can guarantee you, if I don't care how well-meaning you are, every one of us fails to be what we should be. You know, I'm now, what would it be? I'm 48 years in the Lord. I've been born again for 48 years, and I've been seeking God, and I have done relatively well compared to other people. But you know what? If I was to just adopt this attitude of, oh God, I'm going to do all of these things, and when I do everything right, then you'll move in my life, I wouldn't have anything from God, because I've never done anything right in my life perfectly. I mean, I'm trying. I'm not saying that I'm out here living in sin, but I'm just saying that you can't live 48 years as a Christian and never make a mistake and do everything perfectly and seek God just 100% all of the time. I make mistakes. You know, when I moved into this building that I'm in, I went to my partners and I started raising money, and I told the people we were going to pay for it debt-free. I wasn't going to go into debt. It was $3.2 million. Long story, but huge amount to me back then. Still a huge amount today. And I was shooting to move into here by August so that we could have our Bible college start in this new building. We didn't move in until November. And so that was 3 months late. And when we moved in, I had one of my Bible college students come to me and says, I know you were shooting for August and you didn't get in here until November. Are you disappointed? Has this discouraged you? Has it hurt you? You know, my response was, man, not at all. I've never done anything perfectly in my life. I only missed it by 3 months. It's the biggest challenge I ever had in my life. $3.2 million I raised in 14 months above our normal operating expense when we had doubled our normal operating expense. It was a miracle that we got any money, much less $3.2 million. And you know what? I was just thrilled that we got in November. And see, some people just have this attitude of, well, they're planning on doing everything perfectly. I've never done anything perfectly in my life. And yet, where I am, where God has brought me, the way that I'm able to influence people's lives, and I'm seeing God use me to literally set people free, I am thrilled with where we are. Now, I'm not everywhere that I'm going to be. God has given me some major steps. I've just made some huge steps. The biggest things I've ever done in my life are still ahead. I'm not saying I've arrived, but I'm saying I've left. And you know what? I'm thrilled. And I haven't done it perfectly, and yet it's worked. It is such a blessing to me to understand that seeking the Lord is necessary and studying the Word is necessary. Praying and fasting is necessary. Yes, I need to seek the Lord. But it helps me to understand that all of that is changing me so that I can receive better from the Lord. It is not making God love me more. It is such a comfort to me to know that God loves me because He is a good God, not because I am a good person. Boy, that's powerful. You know, it's similar to my marriage relationship. Jamie and I try and love each other and treat each other kindly, but you know what? We're both human beings that have fallen short of what we should be. And if Jamie only gave me what I deserved, you know what? We would not be married. I do not deserve to be married. I'm not perfect. I don't treat her exactly right. I take great comfort in knowing that Jamie loves me, not only because I do things that pleases her and that she likes, but Jamie loves me because God put us together, because she has a relationship with God, and she loves me because she chooses to love me. She loves me by grace. She gives me mercy. I praise God that our relationship isn't based on what I do. Now, again, does that mean that because of that, I just go out and live in a way and don't care about Jamie, don't ever do anything for her? No, I love Jamie, and I know that a relationship takes effort, and so I put effort into it, and I get Jamie flowers, and I say things to her, and I do things, and we go places, and you know what? I try and express my love to her, but I don't do it perfectly. I take great comfort in knowing that Jamie loves me because she's a godly woman, not because I am the perfect godly man. Boy, would to God that more relationships could be built that way. You know, I used to pastor a church, and I had people come to me all the time for marriage counseling. And one of the things that I heard over and over and over and over, people would say, but they did this. And I'd say, well, the Bible says that you're supposed to love your wife. And they would say, well, yeah, I know that, but. And what they were saying without saying it is, I would love them if they deserved it. But they did this. They don't deserve me loving them. And I have told hundreds, thousands of couples that if you only give your mate what they deserve, if you only love them when they are worth loving, you aren't going to have a marriage. You have to give people grace. You have to love them because you are full of love, not because they are perfectly lovely. And see, that's the way it is in my relationship with God. I know that God loves me in spite of who I am, not because of who I am. That doesn't make me want to go take advantage of that love and go live in sin. Man, I seek God and do things, but I don't do all of these things to make God love me or to move God. I do all of these things because I believe God loves me and I want to unclog the pipe. I want to get my heart as sensitive to God as I possibly can so that I won't miss any of those things. You know, I've been saying this in a lot of different ways, but this goes back to my original purpose in this teaching. I want to receive the fullness of God's grace. I believe that God's grace is already provided. I believe that He's provided everything for me that He provided for the Apostle Paul or Peter, or you could pick any person today who has seen the blessing and the power of God. I just heard a testimony at lunch about a person that had been on dialysis and had been on it for 6 months. Their kidneys were totally dead, and God just gave them brand new kidneys. They're off dialysis. They're completely healed. Praise God. If I saw that and say, well, man, I want this. The way to respond is not to say, well, what I'm going to do is instead of studying the Word 30 minutes a day, I'm going to start studying an hour a day. Instead of praying for 30 minutes, I'm going to pray an hour a day. Instead of going to church once a week, I'm going to go twice a week. I'm going to start doing this, this, and this. And when I do this, then maybe God will do for me what He did for this other person. See, that's totally wrong. What that is legalism. It's works. And that is the sin of self-righteousness, thinking that God is going to move in your life because you deserve these things. That will never work. I guarantee you the sin of self-righteousness is worse than the sin of adultery, worse than the sin of homosexuality, thinking that God has to move because you're going to do this. And see, that's the way a lot of people would approach that. The proper way to respond to this, if you heard of somebody getting brand new kidneys and you needed a new kidney, instead of thinking, well, I'm going to work harder and then maybe God will do it for me, the proper way to respond would be to say, man, that's awesome. If God did that for them, you know what? God is no respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. So that means that whatever they experienced, God also has that for me. So God has done this for me. My healing is already there. So what I'm going to do is pray and fast, not to get God to do it, but to unclog the doubt and the unbelief, the things that are holding me from receiving this goodness of God. Now, see, your actions might be the same as that first example I gave, but the attitude is different. You aren't doing it to manipulate God and to get God to do something. You're doing it because you believe God's already done it. And if you haven't seen it, it's not God who hasn't given. It's you that hasn't received. I can go back to an example that I used earlier in this teaching about a television set. The television signal is being broadcast 24 hours a day. It's always there, but you don't always hear it. Like you're watching one station right now, but you know there's other stations that are broadcasting. But your television set can only receive one signal at a time. Or you could turn it off and it wouldn't receive any signal. When you turn on your television set is not when the station starts broadcasting. It's already there. You just aren't receiving. And let's say that you were watching television and all of a sudden the signal got fuzzy and then it went off. How many of you would call the television station and just say, turn that signal back on, start broadcasting again? The vast majority of you would go to check to see if something's wrong with your set. If you had multiple television sets in your home, you'd go to another television set and see if it's still getting the picture. And if one television set is getting the picture and another one isn't, then you know what? The chances are that it's your set that's the problem, not the transmitter, not the station. Well, see, in a similar way, when we don't receive something from God, we just assume that it's God who's not broadcasting. It's because God hasn't healed us yet. The truth is, by His grace, you've already been healed of everything. God is always releasing that supernatural healing, raising from the dead power. It's never God's grace that's at question. But our faith, we sometimes are tuned into the wrong station, so we don't hear His signal. Or we kick the plug out. We are unplugged. You aren't filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. or something happens and your set dies. It's your set that's the problem, not God. You ought to fix your receiver, not complain about the broadcaster. And see, this is what a lot of people do. They think, well, God hasn't done this. It just changed my life to understand that God has already provided. By grace, every need that I have or will ever have has already been anticipated and it's already been met. God, by grace, has already put the same power on the inside of me that raised Christ from the dead. That's more than enough to handle my headache, my toothache, my toe ache, my cancer, anything. It's already done. It's already in there. God's already given me the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's all in here. If I have discouragement and depression, my spirit's not depressed. In my spirit, man, I've got all of this love, joy, and peace. It's just that my set is tuned to a different frequency. I'm listening to the world. And so instead of saying, oh, God, heal me of depression and want Him to just all of a sudden override when I've tuned in to another signal, to another station. No, what I do is recognize God is always giving me love, joy, and peace. It's not God. I must be listening to, watching, thinking the wrong things. And I'll go back and work on my receiver and make sure I'm tuned to the right frequency and that I'm listening to God. And when I start listening to God, love, joy, and peace starts coming. So see, I don't go to God and beg Him for joy and peace. The Scripture says I've already got it. I don't beg God for it. I believe that by grace He's already done it. And now I start working on me and renewing my mind. See, there's this balance between grace and faith. It's certainly not up to me by myself. I can't make myself happy. We live in a fallen world. And you know what? If you don't have the temptation for discouragement or despair or despondency, well, then you aren't paying attention. Because I can guarantee you, we live in a fallen world and there's bad things happening. The temptation is always there. But in my spirit, God has already given me love, joy, and peace and all of these things. And so if I'm not experiencing it, I realize that I'm just being more influenced by the world than I am by God. And so I don't go begging God, oh God, please give me joy, because the Bible says He's already done it. What I do is rest in what He's already done. And by faith, I just start reaching out, reminding myself of what He's done. And I reach out and take what God has already given me. Man, that's powerful. I don't know if you've totally identified with what I've been talking about today, but this is something that most people are not operating in. Most people think God can do anything, but that He has done nothing. And so they think that it's up to them to impress God, to do something, to earn God's favor, and to motivate Him, to move God. But faith doesn't move God. All it does is reach over and appropriate what God has already provided by grace. And if you can understand that, it'll take the struggle out of your faith. It'll make it so that faith isn't a work, it's just a rest. You're just renewing yourself that God has already given it to you. You know, I'm going to continue to share this on my program tomorrow, and I encourage you to please listen in then. I've got a lot more to share. And also, listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive this new hardback book, study guide, CD set, DVD set as seen on TV, or a DVD set that was made straight from one of our Gospel Truth seminars.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The second teaching in the CD album titled Grace Through Faith is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA24C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I believe that some of you were really spoken to by the Lord through the program today, and I would like to encourage as you call the number to request these products, also ask someone to pray with you. You know, maybe you've understood that you've been trying to get God to do something, and now you understand that He's done it, and you just want to rest in that. It takes effort to rest. It takes some effort, and we have people on the phones that can not only get you the materials that you request, but they can pray with you. Some of my very best friends are on those phones, and I mean, they are mature Christians. We are getting miraculous results. I promise you, you call and let someone just pray with you. You will see miraculous results. So we have the number on your screen. Please call today.
Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You won't doubt that you'll get it if you believe you've already got it. Boy, that is simple.